This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
Hope you're having a great weekend out there. We appreciate you joining us, spending part of it with us on the Retirement Room with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. MatthewJames.com. That's the website. The phone number, 366-8366. Once again, that's 366-8366. My name is Chris Swan. On today's show, trying to shed the pressure of working after retirement, we're going to talk about why 59.5 is such an important age when it comes to your 401k. And we're going to go in search of lost money that might change your retirement future. All this and more. But before we get things started, let me check in with the man himself. John, glad to be with you here for another weekend. How are you, sir?
Well, Chris, you know, it's another weekend. A lot of things on the docket. Just, you know, getting the kids ready for school. You know, basketball practices for high school and tennis. And a lot of pickleball. Man, I tell you what, we've as a family picked up some pickleball the last weekend. And I didn't even talk about it because I kind of forgot about it on Saturday. But Sunday of last weekend, we had a family pickleball tournament. It lasted probably about 5-6 hours.
Goodness.
Definitely a lot of fun. I've never played in like any kind of, I mean, I played pickleball like the two weekends before with just my kids. And they were like showing me the game because Moldis plays tennis and then he'll play with his uncle. His uncle plays a lot of pickleball. And then so that same uncle, which is my brother-in-law, had put on this tournament with the whole family. So we had mixed doubles, we had men's doubles, women's doubles, and it was definitely a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to playing it again, and I was surprised myself on, you know, catching on to it so quick. I mean, I've played tennis, but I played tennis a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Right after we had our second child, I quit playing tennis just because of the bandwidth of time.
Yeah.
It's something I definitely want to, you know, get back into, but I really don't have the time for it. But I'm definitely enjoying these motorcycle rides on the early mornings, each and every weekend. We'll get on the road and make a few miles. I mean, I think tomorrow we're going to do it again early in the morning. So it's just, look, that's, you know, trying to enjoy the weekend. Look, it's hot. So, you know, doing stuff like that, it's a matter of trying to get out early. Typically when we're doing it, we're getting out at like 5:20 in the morning, taking off, you know, and then the day break comes along. So we try to take advantage of it while it's still cool and then basically shutting it down around 10 o'clock, you know, on Sunday mornings. If we go out on Sundays, if it's Saturday mornings, we have to be done by like 7:59, you know, to get over here.
Yeah.
But obviously we're getting done before that. So we're definitely enjoying it. And, you know, just now it's just really paying attention to the news, what's going on with the markets, you know, in general. So that's what we're here to talk about today and build in strategies to lower your tax liability.
You know, we appreciate you carving time out of your busy schedule. I was going to say, I've enjoyed hearing your progression in pickleball in the past couple of weeks because it just started out, you're like, oh, I'm going to play a game, going to check this out. And then you've kind of just dove, you know, feet first into it, which is great. And it just goes to show, you know, new hobbies, new passions, things you get excited about, that they can spring up like just like that. And when it comes to retirement, you know, you're going to find new hobbies, new things that you're passionate about. Maybe it's a new grandkid on the way, you know, and you want to spend more time visiting. You need a plan that can change with you with whatever may come down the line for the good and the bad. And that is what you get when you start developing one with Acadiana's retirement strategist, the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, a living, breathing thing that is not, you know, set in concrete. And, well, we can't make any changes because we're locked into, you know, this for the next X number of years. So something to keep in mind as you listen to the show, as we get into it. The number, once again, to get started, 366-8366. Let's talk about this. A recent survey by Lincoln Financial found that more than half, about 60% of retirees, said they would go back and plan their retirement differently if they had the chance. And 63% regretted not including investments that provided some steady income, saying, you know, they'd like to receive an automatic paycheck or things like that. For people that haven't retired yet, where they don't have to go back and say, oh, I wish, is this something you can help them avoid having to do a do-over?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's a matter of looking at the current structure of what they have and what can we do to, you know, maybe finagle a couple of things to make it work out in their advantage. Ideally, you know, the more money you have, the easier it is. But then we have to look at what types of investments are you using? Do you have a portfolio of dividends paying stocks? Do you have or dividend paying mutual funds or dividend paying ETFs? You know, do you have a do you have rental property? I mean, that's automatic payments. Obviously, there's some other things, some expenses that go along with it. But ideally, you know, you'd be surprised having a few rental houses or a duplex or a fourplex, you know, what kind of income that you can have coming in consistently. But you have to look at, you know, okay, what amount of labor do you want to have on your plate, ideally? So, I mean, even though rentals would potentially, in most cases, pay out more income, it's just, look, there's with that income, there's comes with more work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I know people that do it, that they have a person that they have on basically full-time maintenance guy. I mean, look, the last thing I want to do in retirement is go fix toilets and, you know, go tinker with AC unit or, you know, do some plumbing work. No, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'll pay, you know, I'd rather pay someone to do it.
Sure.
And you know, if you have enough, you know, if you have enough homes or enough, you know, front doors to, you know, to justify that, then that's one thing. But if you don't, then you have to look at, okay, I'm gonna have to roll up my sleeves a little bit every once in a while when the time is needed. And so, look, there's just different things out there. There's different types of investment vehicles. You know, some people have different needs. Maybe they're more in demand of pulling more out of their account. Maybe they need a higher percentage. So then we have to look at how much risk they're taking. What vehicles are they using? What's the drawdown risk? And that's the big thing that we have to look at is what is the drawdown risk? Because, you know, whenever you're pulling, it doesn't matter if it's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6%. Whenever you're doing that on a big negative year, so if your portfolio is realizing a, let's say like last year, a 19% loss, or like 08, a 38% loss, or in 01, it was a 13% loss, you know, those things create a longevity problem whenever you have that much of a drawdown.
Definitely.
And you're taking a withdrawal at the same time. So this is something that we have to look at, we have to pay attention to, and look at, okay, what are the other vehicles out there? You know, we have strategies where you're getting a good bit of principal protection, but then you're getting, like right now, we're pricing out notes that are paying over 9.75%. Now, look, they were paying a little bit higher before, but we have to look at volatility of the market. What's the current interest rate status? You know, what's the 10-year treasury doing? So these are, you know, there's factors that determine, you know, what types of vehicles are out there that can produce a paycheck consistently every month. Now, ideally, what we don't want to do is tie up money for long period of times, mm-hmm. you know, a long period of time regardless. So we have to look at, okay, what's the liquidity, making sure we have access to money as far as when it comes down to emergency fund purposes, planned expenses, which would be vacations, maybe you're upgrading a vehicle, changing the cabinets, doing some other remodeling within your house. Maybe you need a new roof. Maybe you have a daughter that's getting married. So we have to look at, you know, all these different factors to understand where we should place your money for what you're trying to do, ideally. So it's a matter of looking at, you know, your situation and what are the proper vehicles that are appropriate for you and your situation.
You know, I want to touch back on what you said, you know, as far as like the rental properties and maybe having someone help you out with that, helping, you know, an electrician or someone, deferring to someone with that proper skill set. It's the same sort of thing when it comes to financial planning, because when it comes to the listeners out there, I'm sure that in the 30 plus years that you spent in the working world, you've honed your craft down to an art, and you're very skilled at that. Do you want to spend, you know, the next 30 years, or however long you're going to be in retirement, trying to manage your finances? I think there's a lot of value in deferring to a professional like John Blanchard, like the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, to help you and make sure that all your ducks are in a row and you could be as financially bulletproof as possible in retirement. It all starts with that phone call. 366-8366 is the number. Real easy to get in touch with. Once again, 366-8366. Or if you prefer, you can go online to the website MatthewJames.com. Find out more about John and the team and Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, MatthewJames.com. Here we are, almost 4 months after the end of tax season, and Americans, well, don't like the results. I'm sure people out there can relate. Just over half said in a new poll by Gallup that their income taxes were not fair. But here's the thing. The survey isn't taking into account that the Trump tax cuts are going to expire at the end of 2025. So if they don't think they're fair now, well, just wait a couple of years. Isn't the time for tax planning now rather than later with all this in mind?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, that's things that we look at. We have Caleb in our office. He's our CPA, full-time CPA that works in our office that helps build plans, looking for tax efficiency. You know, we want to maximize deductions where it's needed. Look at any expenses that could be, you know, used. We have to look at where to place money as far as being tax efficient for the future. And then also looking at any Roth conversions or contributions that you should maximize each and every year. So ideally, this is, you know, great times to talk about things for our current clients. You know, like we're actually in the process of sending out some engagement letters regarding having conversations with him, looking at their year-end tax planning to fill up and max out any brackets that they're in, depending on their scenario, looking at sales of businesses. I mean, we have several people that have come to us this year, several households that are in the process of selling a business, or maybe people that own a business that are looking at creating a different structure to lower their tax liability currently, but how to reduce their tax liability in the future. Looking at estate planning, whenever it's appropriate to have a trust involved, looking at, should you be set up as an S-Corp if you are self-employed. I mean, we have a lot of people that are paying self-employment tax, and they're bringing enough revenue to justify being an S-Corp and mm-hmm. reduce their tax liability, and then using a multitude of different types of deductions that most people don't even know about or not even aware of. So we're looking at as many creative strategies to basically help reduce your tax liability. But even for people that are selling a business, we're looking at creating a deferral treatment on taxation on the sale of a business by using proper estate planning. There's people that are trying to sell either large pieces of land or another asset, like a business entity, and they're looking at the big tax bill that they're having to pay on it. Well, I mean, we're using a form of a trust to put that, basically make that payment of the sale to, and you avoid the taxes that you're going to pay on that completely, and then you're going to take distributions out of that plan later and pay taxes on that distribution. So whenever you do that, you're going to lower the tax liability on the income that you're receiving from the sale of your business. And ideally, you got to look at, if you're selling a business and you're having to, write a high six-figure or a seven-figure check to the IRS for taxation on that sale. Well, let's look at what estate planning, what kind of trust that we could set up, what options do you have out there to lower your tax liability? And there's people that, currently are still operating a business. There's different opportunities there to lower your tax liability. So we have to look at whichever ways we can reduce it by being creative and using the tax code to your advantage.
There are two tax codes out there, the Honorable Judge Learned Hand once famously said, those for the informed and those for the uninformed. A lot of people out there, I think that the wealthy have access to all of these, tax savings and things like that simply because they're wealthy. No, they just happen to know what they are. And it's one of those things where you can also utilize these in your favor, whether you are six figures, seven figures, or, maybe a little bit less than that. Having a proper strategy put in place, again, it comes with the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. It's right there in the name, especially as we get closer and closer to 2025, as that Trump tax code is getting set to sunset. And at that point, they'll revert back to the Obama era. Taxes are going to go up, at least to that level, but more than likely with the mounting national debt, almost certainly going to go up in the future. So having a proper tax strategy in place is critical, not just for retirees, but just I think for everybody out there. And it's something that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management can help you with. You just have to give a call and schedule a time to speak with them to get started. 366-8366 or online, MatthewJames.com. John, I have to ask, you've got several daughters. Are they Taylor Swift fans?
Yeah, they like her. They like her. I mean, I don't like actively hear them singing or listening to her songs. I'm sure they are.
So they're not diehards, they're not Swifties. And, I think that's probably going to be fortunate for your bank account because fans of Taylor Swift, the diehards, are not letting anything get in the way of them seeing her in concert. Even delayed planes can't stop these Swifties from breaking out in song.
Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I'll be waiting. All this left to do is run.
I can only imagine the people that were on the plane that weren't Taylor Swift fans were having the time of their life. Anyway, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is not only selling out, but there are also estimates it could generate $4.6 billion, with a B, dollars in U.S. consumer spending, which is larger than the GDP of 35 different countries. Even the Fed says the singer has had quite an impact on the economy. Look, we're not saying that Taylor Swift can keep us out of a recession, but what steps are you taking with clients in case there is one down the line?
Well, look, I mean, we have to look at where spending's at. I mean, look at this past weekend, I think it was, the Barbie movie came out.
Yeah.
Did you dress up for that?
I did not. I actually went and saw the Spider-Man movie that weekend, and there were a lot of people dressed up for it, for the Barbie movie. Good for them.
Yeah. I know. I had brought my kids out, mm-hmm. and the amount of people, mostly women, wearing pink and Barbie shirts and other things. Look, it's great you supported it. I mean, I heard mixed reviews on the movie. I didn't go watch it. Maybe. Do you want to go watch it with me later?
We'll see. We'll see what the rest of the weekend looks like. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to be too busy. But if you want to go, you're more than welcome to it. You got to look at where spending's going on. And right now, we had a 20-year high of credit card limits, and then look at the interest rates on credit cards. So it's something that's pretty alarming because some people think, look, the economy's going great, the market's up. We have only a handful of tech stocks, large tech stocks that are basically pulling the stock market up. I mean, look at the NASDAQ, the results year to date, the S&P results year to date. It's mostly built off of a handful of stocks that have a lot of growth, a lot of speculation because of AI. So, but the other thing is we have a lot of people spending a tremendous amount of money. I mean, look, vacation season's like here. I mean, we're kind of going through it, getting into school season. I mean, I was in Target the other day. I was surprised how many people are out there shopping. Now, look, there's a lot of people buying for different reasons, or whatever store you're going to. It doesn't matter. But I know the grocery stores are full. Even department stores are full. But ideally, what we're looking at here is that there's a lot of money that has been spent on vacation because people want to, you know, go. They want to get out of town. It's like right now, it's so hot in Louisiana. So trying to, you know, cool off and enjoy the great outdoors, you know, people are spending a premium. Let's say going to Florida. I mean, our condo for the 4th of July, and our family goes, our extended family goes every year. We actually had a lower turnout than most. Typically, we have about 130, 140 people showing up. That's including kids. We had about 35. I mean, that's low. And most people, that's way too high.
Yeah.
You know, but that's typical in our scenario. It's the same family that was playing pickleball this past weekend. Now, we basically had like a 70% increase in condo prices. And but most people are talking about the same thing. But like right now, okay, so we have people that's, you know, spent money and they might have put it on their credit card, that vacation, the travel to get there, whenever they stop on the way to either, you know, Gulf Shores or Destin or 38, you know, and the grocery basket that they were rolling around in Buc-ee's filling up with beef jerky and banana chips and everything else, you know, probably spending a couple Benjamins while they were there outside of the gas that they were using to fill, you know, to spend the money they spent to fill up their tank. But then we're looking at the money being spent on new uniforms and school supplies and just other things, or maybe people's ACs going out. So, you know, credit card bills are, you know, the debt on the credit card has risen a lot looking at consumer data. And so that's something that we have to pay attention to because we need to look at being more free cash flow, having less money going to liabilities, to debts, so we can have more free cash flow, more freedom, more opportunities to take advantage of whenever there is, you know, dips in the market or maybe real estate that's on sale. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and so we have to look at being more lean, running our personal household like a business, because at the end of the month, businesses need to turn a profit. So ideally, yeah, as a household, you want to turn a profit as well.
Yeah, and if you're in the red, you know, that's not great for businesses. It's not great for your own personal economy. Here's the truth of it. The markets are going to fluctuate over the course of the next 20, 30 years. We are going to see a recession or two over the course of that retirement. And, you know, you may be set up to right now to withstand one, you know, but what about the one after that or the one after that or whatever may come down the line? Having a proper plan in place, letting you be financially nimble, as Warren Buffett says, being able to be greedy when others are being fearful when others are being greedy, but also making sure that it doesn't affect your bottom line, your quality of life in retirement. All starts with having that properly structured plan, and that is what you get with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist, and his team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. The phone number is 366-8366. You know, John, there's been a mindset in financial planning that says, save until you're 70 and then start spending. One advisor recently told the story of a client in their 60s who was so focused on saving, both he and his wife, they didn't go on vacation for 4 years. How do you counsel your clients and let them know that it's okay to actually spend money in retirement and even in some of the years leading up to it?
Look, it's one thing whenever, you know, you've been frugal for years and you know, stockpiling the acorns, you know, for when the time comes. But ideally, you know, look, we're only here on this earth one time that I know of. Uh-huh. As far as what we've seen, it's only one time. And then I haven't heard of anybody being reincarnated and come back and spending the money that they saved.
Yeah,
or maybe the money they didn't save.
Can't take it.
But
with
ideally,
you.
Yeah, no. I mean, ideally, we have to look at, you know, we have a short time on earth. Maybe there's a lot of things that you have on your bucket list, a lot of destinations, a lot of, you know, opportunities that you want to take advantage of. And so that's something that we have to look at is, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what our health is going to look like in the future. And then, you know, pushing off retirement for a significantly later date, you know, is something that, you know, could in a way haunt you. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have people that, hey, look, we're going to go ahead and delay it. And then when they finally do it a couple months later, then they have a medical problem that does not allow them to be able to do the things that they initially planned to do. I've seen, you know, husband and wives in tears that, look, we didn't think this was going to be us. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that you got to think about, because we don't know what card we're going to be dealt. So whenever you can have the opportunity to, you know, go on an adventure, you know, travel abroad while your health is there, while, you know, even mentally, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so, you know, we see, you know, some people that they think, okay, well, because all my mom and dad and my aunt and uncles, everybody's healthy, that doesn't necessarily mean that you will be. Or maybe they weren't healthy, vice versa. So we just have to look at taking the advantage of the opportunity. If you can cash flow it, and I'm not talking to where you have to over withdraw to make it happen. We're talking, you know, you have enough money to really look at these opportunities. But the other thing is, we have people that come in that are invested in certain financial vehicles that have extremely excessive fees. And so we're showing them, look, we can just the fees that we can reduce you per year can allow you to probably go to Europe for like a month each year, like paid for by the reduction in the fees that you were paying. So the thing is, take advantage of the opportunity. Look at your goals. I mean, everybody still has goals. Everybody still has, you know, we're still that 5, 6, 8-year-old kid with dreams of things that we still want to do. Uh-huh. And so ideally is look at the list of the things that you want to do, you want to accomplish. And maybe not just about going to different destinations, but maybe there's certain things that you want to learn or let's say instruments that you want to play, or maybe languages you want to learn. I mean, there's a multitude of things. I mean, there's some people that like, okay, I want to go and find the same exact vehicle that was my first vehicle that you had so many memories in, and maybe restore it. That'd be nice if it would be the exact same vehicle, the same VIN number, but that's, you know, that's often pretty hard.
Yeah.
But we meet people that have their original first, like their first car, and they still drive it. You know, it brings them back memories. Mm-hmm. So there's a multitude of things that people, you know, would want to experience or maybe be involved with. Maybe it becomes a charity of some sort. Maybe they want to be involved with fundraising for St. Jude's, or there's other, I mean, the Miles Perret Cancer Services. There's so many different things out there that people can use their time and help out their community, whether it's a church in the area, it's a different foundation, it's, you know, feeding the poor. There's a multitude of things. So it's just a matter of what do you want to do and go do it. If you have the money, go do it. And if you don't have enough money, let's figure out how to do it. And so ideally is just have that experience, because not having it is going to lead to a lot of regret, a lot of resentment, being that you didn't do it at all.
And regardless of what your retirement dreams are, there's so many out there for, you know, everyone's going to be different. I don't think regret and resentment is really high on anyone's list. I'm going to get your thoughts on something, John, I read about recently, the concept of a phased retirement, where people, because truth be told, the last couple of years as you're entering into retirement, the money that you are putting away into a 401k, it doesn't have the time to compound and grow like it did, you know, when you started saving when you were in your 20s or your 30s. And so this concept basically says, you know, maybe work a little bit longer, but periodically during that time, you know, use some of that money that you would have tucked away and go do what you're talking about. Go enjoy it. Go travel more. Go, you know, the things that you've been dreaming for, go ahead and realize them now. Obviously, I'm not giving and I'm not asking you to give, you know, across the board advice for everybody out there. But what do you think of this concept?
Well, look, ideally, it's just a matter of like going after it, doing what you want to do. And look, it might be limited. I mean, you just have to look at, okay, well, I can only afford to do X, or I'm only have enough time to do whatever it is. I mean, take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different things, you know, out there. And like I have, and look, the thing is, we never promised on our health. You know, like I talked about earlier, I have several clients that we're pushing to retire at a later date. We want to build up some more money. They had enough money, but then they went to retire, and a few months later, One gets diagnosed with stage, you know, has stage four cancer now. She's battling, and the husband has dementia and a couple other things. And like, we can't do what we wanted to do. We're our travel is from a neighboring parish to Lafayette General to Ochsner's every other week. And that's not something that you want to do. So take advantage of it, because look, we don't know, you know, if we're going to be limited on, you know, internal health problems or maybe structural health problems, or there's some families that might, you know, family member that might be in need. You're taking care of your parents. You know, like there's a multitude of things that can hold you back. But ideally, it's take advantage of it whenever you can. Pushing it off just to try to save some more money. Look, even though the job might be paying well, but it's look at what it's costing you.
Yeah.
It's time. You can never buy back time. And so ideally, look at if you have it, take advantage of the time that you do have, because in the earlier part of your retirement, we call that your go-go years. That's the years that you're going to be able to travel and do as many things as you can because you're still healthier. But in that middle part of retirement, and things are changing. Maybe your body, your back can't hold it. Maybe your legs, your joints can't handle it. Your hips can't handle it. Maybe there's some internal things that are going on. So then there's going to be a reduction in the ability to go, go have experiences. And then later on, you know, health is going to be probably even, you know, it's going to be more of an issue. And then the likelihood of going do things is going to be a lot. You have a lot more restrictions. So ideally, take advantage of it whenever you can.
You know, they're called the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. And the spending generally, again, this isn't going to be the same for everybody. The spending kind of looks like a valley or a bell curve, inverted bell curve, where maybe in the middle you're not spending as much, but towards the end, healthcare expenses, things like that. Again, it is your retirement. What you should do is what you want to do, what you've been dreaming of, but actually being able to loosen the reins and say, what we've been saving away for all these years, we can actually make happen. So I think starts with having a proper plan in place and being able to say, yes, it is okay to go ahead and start doing this. Or if there are some changes that need to be made, it's better to find out sooner rather than later. Acadiana's retirement strategist can help you out with that. You just need to take the time to sit down and speak with him. A new survey from Forbes found that more than half of American adults with vacation plans, they have concerns about their luggage being damaged or lost while flying. And if you're flying into some of these airports, with good reason. The top five worst airports for lost and damaged luggage in the United States are JFK in New York, Miami International, LAX, Norfolk International in Virginia, and Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International. So with these airports and several others throughout the country, there is a known risk when it comes to traveling through them. Similarly, there are also known risks when it comes to staying in the stock market. John, how do you and your team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management help assess a client's portfolio risk so that their retirement arrives without significant delays or damage?
Yeah. So, look, I tell you what, let's go with luggage real quick.
Okay.
Carry-ons. I do travel a lot for work, and I've learned my lesson a long time ago regarding checking in luggage. It was actually a ski trip back in college where we went to Crested Butte, and so you fly into Gunnison from Denver, and that flight from Denver to Gunnison was canceled. So then we were forced to take a shuttle that was like an 8-hour shuttle to get there, because I think it was 8 hours, 6 or 8 hours. It was a long time, regardless. And but we didn't get to take our luggage with us because they didn't take it off the plane, and they said they were going to deliver it to the airport. Well, we ended up getting it the day before we left. And so, you know, that's an experience. So think about that. That's an issue. So, but we have to look at what luggage are you packing going into retirement? Ideally, we have to look at what is your portfolio? What is the structure of it? What is the drawdown risk? What is the income opportunity as far as, you know, dividend paying stocks, or what kind of yields you're getting on your bonds if you have any? We have to look at, you know, do you have a portfolio of rental properties? So what luggage are you bringing into retirement? And is that the proper luggage you're going to be needing to use to produce, you know, income? And so ideally we have to look at the vulnerability of drawdown risk, which creates a problem as far as longevity when it comes down to receiving money. And so the biggest worry for most people is running out of money in retirement. Now, a lot of people's other worry is losing a lot of money in retirement, and then there's another worry of overpaying taxes. So you might be one of those three, you might be all three, or you might be two of those three. But ideally, what we have to look at is what kind of baggage you have right now. What's your luggage going into retirement? What kind of vulnerability you might be exposed to? And then what can you do about restructuring? And it's not just about, you know, the income part of the restructuring, but it's we got to look at how to get income efficiently, how to reduce your drawdown risk, and then looking at reducing your tax liability as well. So all three things are very, very crucial going into retirement. And we have to just look at, okay, where you stand, where are there areas of vulnerability, if any, and then how to restructure to benefit you.
You know, it's all about planning accordingly, packing accordingly, you know, to use this analogy. Retirement is going to be a longer trip than a weekend stay or things like that. So you want to make sure you have everything that you need and maybe reduce the things that you don't. Taking a look, having someone sit down and walk you through it in the process, that is what John Blanchard can help you with and make sure that you're equipped for however long your retirement is going to be, the 20, 30 plus years you're going to be spending in retirement. All starts with that phone call, creating a plan specifically for you. 366-8366. Or go to the website, MatthewJames.com. I've heard people say that 60 is the new 40, but when it comes to retirement, the age 59 and a half keeps coming up. When it comes to 401ks and that particular age, what is the significance there, John?
Well, look, the key thing is that you have access to money in an IRA and a 401k without a 10% pre-withdrawal penalty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you also actually have access to it before that, too. So with 401ks, if you're if you have a 401k with an existing employer, you can have access to the 401k dollars without a 10% pre-withdrawal penalty. Now, there's a special provision that allows you to do that. Same thing goes with IRAs. It's called the 72T rule. Now, you have to withdraw money for 5 years, and it's an exact amount that you have to pull out each year for those 5 years to avoid a 10% pre-withdrawal penalty. But ideally, it's a matter of structuring your assets to where if you retire before 59 and a half, you have a certain type of account. Technically, it's an individual account. So you have a brokerage account or like a joint account, an individual account, something that you're receiving 1099s on each year. That's money you have access to without any kind of pre-withdrawal penalty. And then after 59 and a half, you can have access to the same funds plus your tax-deferred accounts such as your IRA, 401k, 403b, and then your Roth accounts, which are all tax-free, all the interest and growth and income after 59 and a half, as long as you've had that account for 5 years in the Roth accounts. Now, ideally, if you have a 401k, if you have a 403b, you have a SEP, you have a simple, you know, you potentially want to look at moving that money over to a traditional IRA so you can control the withholdings on your federal taxes. So, because the thing is, on most 401ks, the provision is you have a mandatory withholding of 20% on all distributions. Well, what if you don't owe 20%? So, ideally, we want to make sure you're not overpaying Uncle Sam or they're not overpaying you, because ideally is if you can break even at the end of the year, that's ideal. Why lend the federal government money and you're not going to get back any interest in return whenever you receive the tax refund? So ideally, we just have to look at the math and put yourself in the proper vehicle, because the great thing about the IRA is that you can have an unlimited architecture of what you're invested in, where the 401k, most of them are basically closed off. You have a certain, only a handful of investments that you can include. Now, there's some out there that give you somewhat of an open architecture, but the IRA can allow you to do a lot of things. Go and even go in self-direct, where your IRA can invest in private placement or real estate and different things like that. So we have to look at what opportunities that you can have access to and how you can lower your tax obligations as well.
Whether it's unnecessary fees or unnecessary taxation, and I think a lot of us agree that taxation might be unnecessary as a whole, but the less that you're paying out is the more that you get to keep in. I think that's pretty simple. And once you hit 59 and a half, being able to take charge of your 401k and maybe reduce some of those fees, reduce some of that taxation that you're going to be paying is something I think everyone should look at as they reach that age and get ready to retire. Make sure that you get to keep as much of your hard-earned money as possible. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, Acadiana's retirement strategist, can help you out with that. 366-8366 is the phone number. The website, MatthewJames.com, to set up a time and speak with them. Social Security, also going to be a factor when it comes to your retirement. It should certainly be a part of it. Unless Congress acts to deal with a good chance of it going insolvent, they could start cutting benefits as soon as 2032, and that could throw a wrench into retirement planning. Here's David Dooley, founder of the Social Security Risk Score.
anyone with $2.5 million or less of retirement savings, Social Security will play a major role in their income plan. And so a lot of people brush it off as icing on the cake. But do you know how much money it would cost to replace $3,000 a month, cost of living adjusted for the rest of your life with spousal benefits? It doesn't exist anywhere except by the government. Knowing the value, the lifetime value of Social Security in your household is a massive asset that you need to get really bright-eyed around.
John, what percentage of income does Social Security play with your clients, and do they underestimate its importance?
Well, look, I mean, everybody's in a different space. I mean, some people don't need much money outside of their Social Security, so then that might be a majority of their income because of their needs. I mean, some people, like, because of their low spending habits, then it could be the bulk of their income. It might be all of their income. And for those individuals that Social Security covers all their expenses and they don't need anything extra, but they still have an IRA, well, we're going to take advantage of Roth conversions because, you know, moving money from their IRA to a Roth using the standard deduction where they don't have to pay any taxes on. Now, it's a limited amount, but ideally, converting it for free is converting it for free. But for other people, they might have a hard demand for income, but then Social Security might be half their income. It might be a third of their income. It just depends on their scenario. But ideally, what we have to look at is how does Social Security create another tax liability for you? Because most people don't know it's getting retaxed again. So what we have to look at is how does Social Security create a hard tax liability for you in retirement, and what planning can we do to lower that tax liability, especially since we have this year and the next 2 years, which is the last 3 years of the Trump tax cuts, to help create a new architecture for your income distribution plan from your different types of investments that you may have.
As with a lot of decisions when it comes to retirement planning, you want to make sure that you get it right, and it can be complicated. There are hundreds upon hundreds of ways to claim Social Security. So a lot of those are not going to work ideally for you, but figuring out the right time to do it. And it's going to vary from person to person. Maybe you need the income, you take it at 62. Maybe there's a lot of benefit to you to delaying as long as possible because you don't need the income. But figuring out how it all works together with your retirement plan is what the team of Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management do. 366-8366 is how you figure out how it all works together for you. 366-8366 or MatthewJames.com. And we want to thank you, as we always do, for joining us, spending part of your weekend with us here on the Retirement Roo. I hope you have a great week ahead of you. John, always appreciate the time. I know you got some pickleball and some bike riding ahead of you, so we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. As we wrap up, though, I want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, Chris, look, I know we went over a lot of tips and strategies and ideas and, you know, things that you can do and even stories, you know, people in different situations on, you know, trying to enjoy your retirement. So, look, we appreciate everybody that listens each and every weekend. We'll be here on KPL again next Saturday. And then also be sure to tune in on KTC and KLFY this week. I'll be going over some tips and retirement strategies. And remember, it's hot outside. It's the summertime. And check, you know, make sure you're not leaving anybody in the back seat. You know, we don't want to hear any stories about, you know, infants or young children being left in this high pace life that we're in. Always probably when you're in the parking lots, maybe scan vehicles, make sure there's nobody accidentally left inside that you can help. It's a hot summer.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and/or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.